thoughts are here for you in this time of need. The next meeting is set for... The rest was faded away.
I thought you'd gotten all of those, Mom hissed at Dad.
I thought I did too,
he said thoughtfully, running a hand over his beard.
Things aren't like that anymore, Sam. They haven't been for a long time.
Well, not completely,
Mom added hastily. Once Lady Tina left the We Hate Samalots, oh great, let's talk about her some more, they sort of splintered off and tried to keep going on their own. I don't know how well that went for them in the long run.
I ate a woman once,
Kevin said, flicking his tongue out at a group of people who scattered, screaming, arms flailing above their heads.
I have no problem in doing it again if the situation should arise. And no, I'm not being misogynistic. I would eat a man just the same if they tried to mess with Sam.
Your threat of murder is touching, I told him honestly. I like you. He grinned at me.
It's different now, Sam,
Dad said, not unkindly.
Obviously. You left and Verania changed. But it wasn't always for the worse. In the darkest times, a light will appear in the most unlikely of places. Lady Tina has worked hard to correct past mistakes. We've had the benefit of seeing it up close. Your last interaction with her was of betrayal. She knows what she did. She has sought to redeem herself for that.
What she did? I repeated incredulously. Are you serious? Let me tell you what she did. She actively fought against everything I stood for, turned thousands of people against me, planned my demise on countless occasions, and was complicit in a plot that nearly killed Ryan and led to Morgan sacrificing himself for me. And you think she's redeemed herself?
Sam,
I shook my head. I can't believe I'm hearing this. Not from you. You guys aren't supposed to be like this. You're supposed to be on my side. Mom's eyes narrowed. We've always been on your side. Every single day of your life. Even when you disappeared without a trace. We have the advantage of hindsight. You do not. There are things you don't know. Things that we've had to live through while you were gone. I'm not blaming you for anything, Sam. I would never do that. I knew in my heart you would return to us. You can't expect Morgan died because of her, I snapped. And before I could stop it, the ground cracked beneath my feet. In the grand scheme of things, it was a small event. The dirt and grass shifted and split twice the length of my foot. But it was built upon rage and a sense of loss. Something the Great White had warned me about time and time again. Magic was supposed to come from a rational place of clear mind and thought. There was control and impassiveness, he told me. A wizard who could stay calm, cool, and collected was able to perform feats, leaps and bounds above one who could not. Morgan had been like that. So had Randall, for the most part. For the longest time after entering the dark woods and facing the Great White, I was a slave to my emotions. I felt nothing but rage and grief at all that I'd seen, at everything I'd lost. There were days when I could do no magic at all. Still others when I had no control over the green and gold that leaked out of me, destroyed parts of the forest around me. My head had been pounding with,
I loved you, Sam of Wilds, even then. Remember that when the world seems dark.
All that had been taken from me. What had been sacrificed to keep me alive because the gods had demanded it so. I blamed everyone but myself. For the longest time, trees caught fire. The earth shook beneath my feet as I screamed at the sky. I wanted revenge. And I felt it then, didn't I? The shadows curling at my feet. Because it would have been so easy for me to reject the dragons, to reject the gods, to reject my cornerstone. to forsake all of them, to submerge myself in the dark. Randall had done it once, and he'd come back from it. I could do that too. It didn't help when I turned on myself. When I placed the blame squarely on my own shoulders, accepting my part in everything. If I hadn't turned those boys to stone in the alley that day so long ago, if I hadn't moved to the castle with Morgan when he'd asked, if I had asked the questions so glaringly obvious in retrospect about the secrets kept from me, if I had listened to Randall and Morgan when they tried to bestow their wisdom upon me, if I'd trusted them more, if I'd asked questions of a page as he'd led us toward a dark house in the City of Locks, if I'd fought harder when Mirren took Morgan in hand and consumed him. If.
Some.
A voice said near my ear. There was a pulse in my head, followed by another, and another, and another. One was red, two were blue, another white. The last was black and shiny and warm. Not void of light, but taking all the light in.
Sam,
Kevin said again.
We're here. We're all here.
Yeah, I muttered. Okay. I took a breath and let it out slow. Remembering what I'd been taught. Remembering what it meant to be a wizard. I am not ruled by emotions. I am a wizard. I have strength and power, and will not use them against those that don't deserve it. The green and gold, sharper than they'd ever been in my life, began to fade. I looked back up. The people around us were staring again. Most of them looked fearful. My parents did not. They only looked worried, not about what I could do, but about me. I smiled weakly at them. Still a work in progress, my bad. I raised my voice to the people of Camp Half-Heart. My bad, everyone. I promise I won't accidentally light all of you on fire for putting up posters that are completely untrue and hurt my feelings. I can't promise I won't light some of you on fire for that. Oh my gods, it was a joke. Why are you all running away?
You've forgotten how to be human,
Kevin said, sounding amused as people screamed and scattered.
Got a little bit of dragon in you.
Wow, what a nice thing to say. Thank you.
Maybe you'd like a little bit more dragon in you.
You're the most terrible thing I've ever known.
I know. Isn't it wonderful?
Okay, Mom asked. Okay, I said. Though I wondered how much of that was true. Dad had moved to the bulletin board to rip down the poster and shred it to pieces.
See? It's that simple.
I told myself I believed him. Mom and Dad had a small house at the end of a row of hastily built ramshackle buildings. They'd been constructed when the port had been taken back from the Darks, shortly after the fall of the City of Locks. It was one of the first things done after Ryan and Justin had taken control, my parents told me. And somehow Lady Tina had fit into those plans. And I was giving very serious consideration to investigating whether she had somehow cast a spell over them to do her bidding, much like she'd once accused me of. After all, Caleb had a level of magic that he shouldn't have been capable of. Who is to say that Lady Tina hadn't been given the same? I was somewhat lost in a fantasy of revealing her betrayal to the people of Camp Half-Heart, and having them chant my name and throw me a party that Ryan and Justin and Tiggy and Gary would come back in the middle of. They would throw themselves at me and sob that I was never allowed to leave them again, and then they would braid Justin's hair, squish Tiggy's face, allow Gary to yell at me, and then wail into my chest, and then fuck Ryan in the butt. It was a good fantasy. Even if I doubted it would work out that way. Mom pointed to a structure that almost looked like a barn to the right of her house. That's Gary's and Tiggy's. There are a lot of bright colors. It looks like a going-out-of-business sale of a store that caters to drag queens. And about 40 brooms. and my heart ached sweetly at the thought. She pointed to a house to the left, and that's where Ryan and Justin stay. My heart didn't ache so sweetly at that. Excuse me? Dad blinked at the tone of my voice.
Ryan and the Prince live there.
Oh. Thanks for clearing that up for me. Really, I appreciate it. Mom rolled her eyes. In separate rooms, Sam. It helps to save space. I'm sure. I bet they're just the best roommates. Having late nights, where they stay up talking about everything and nothing all at the same time, and maybe their gazes start to collide a little more, and the conversation peters out. But it's not an uncomfortable silence. No. It's tense and crackling, fraught with an unnamed desire. And they'll cough awkwardly, both of them blushing because they're virgins. And then Justin will stretch his lion face toward Ryan. His lion what now? Mom asked, squinting at me.
Sam's read The Butler and the Manticore one too many times. For some reason, it was the only novel he brought with him on our little excursion to the woods.
I didn't think that was actually a real book,
Dad said. Kevin shrugged.
Who even knows anymore? Just roll with it.
There's nothing going on between them, Mom said firmly. They're friends and nothing more. So you get that thought out of your head right now. Justin doesn't see Ryan like that. And even if he did, Ryan would never, because his heart belongs to you. And it always has.
He's angry, though.
Who told you that?
Dad asked. Katja and Brandt implied it. Dad groaned.
Oh, they shouldn't have said anything to you about that. It's not for them to say. It's complicated.
The door to their house opened. An older woman appeared in the doorway. Her dark hair was pulled back, more gray than black now. She had a shawl wrapped around her thin shoulders, and bangles clinking together on her wrists. She didn't look surprised to see me. Eyes narrowed slightly. I had to stop myself from reaching over and popping her right in the mouth. I didn't, because a man was never to hit a lady, unless it was Lady Tina, because she deserved it more than anyone in the world. It was close, though.
Shava, she said. It's about time you showed. Foolish boy, taking forever in the woods. You a big wizard now? You don't look like it. I have seen your homecoming because of the sight. I knew you would walk through the gates this day. For the first time, I thought the sight failed me. Surely a coward wouldn't return after this long.
Fatoma. I breathed. She lives here? I hissed in the kitchen, Dad having pulled me past Fatoma before I could do anything, like emotionally devastate her with a well-placed barb. Have you all lost your goddamn minds? I go away for 11 months to learn how to be even more badass than I already am, only to come back and find that you're all hobnobbing with most of my enemies.
Hobnobbing. Dad mouthed to Mom, rolling his eyes. Only two of your enemies, Mom said, patting my shoulder. I'm sure you have many more than that. There's something about your face that people just don't seem to like, sometimes. I can't fathom what that could be. It's a good face.
Maybe even the best face. We should know we made it.
Aside from scarring me with that mental image, can someone please explain? Vadoma lives here? In this house? With you? In case you can't remember, here's a refresher. She is a terrible person who should fall off a cliff and die when she lands on really sharp rocks. Mom hugged me. What the hell? I muttered, but hugged her back. Because she was my mother, and I missed her so.
It's good to know that you're still oddly specific about the ways people should die.
Mom said, sniffling in my ear. I'm not that bad. She laughed wetly and kissed my cheek before pulling away.
I missed you more than anything.
I swallowed past the lump in my throat. Me too.
If you ever do that again, I will push you into an active volcano and watch as the molten magma melts away your skin and bones. Do we understand each other?
so specific. That was amazing. I cleared my throat. We understand each other. She nodded slowly.
Good.
You're still grounded. I'm a man now. You can't just... Did you just lick that napkin? Why are you putting it on my face? That's disgusting. You're covered in dirt, she said, holding my jaw and frowning in concentration as she scrubbed my face. Didn't you hear what I just said? I'm a man, Mom. Seriously, stop rubbing me with your spit napkin.
You're still as loud as always,
a voice said from the entrance to the kitchen.
Loud and foolish. That should be your name now. Sam the Loud and Foolish.
Hi, Vedoma, I grumbled as I gave in and let my mom rub her saliva on my cheeks. Nice to see you, Vedoma. Glad you're here, Vedoma. She sniffed dismissively as she walked into the kitchen, moving as she always had, head held high, feet sliding along the wooden floor as if she were almost dancing. Her bangles clinked together, sounding like wind chimes in a soft summer breeze.
I predicted your return. It is good to know that I am right.
I snorted. Yeah, I bet you did. She narrowed her eyes at me.
You doubt me.
Yeah, see, I don't know if that fully encapsulates the thoughts going through my head. It's not that I just doubt what you said. It's more that I doubt everything about your entire existence. In the too-long-didn't-read scope of things, I think you're full of shit. Sam, Mom chided, squeezing my chin a little tighter before letting me go. The white napkin was now black, like the darkest part of night, which, you know, ghastly. What? It's true.
He's not wrong, Dad said mildly.
Joshua! I high-fived my father because he was wonderful and I adored him.
Still the same. I would have thought going into the woods would have changed you. How disappointing. The gods must surely be regretting you now. And that dragon, ugh, filthy creature. He should never have been part of the prophecy. A waste he is. Such a shame.
Maybe you should keep Kevin out of this, I told her. I don't take kindly to people bad-mouthing my friends. Because that was my job. And I was already going to give him so much shit, so he told me he was going to go roll around in Gary's scent in the barn like the aberration that he was. But it was probably a smart thing to do, as it would potentially keep Gary from raining his fury down upon him. I wondered if I should do the same in Ryan's bed. Was that weird? It seemed a little weird. And I can assure you I'm not the same person who you last saw in Mashalaha. To think otherwise would be a mistake you would regret.
Are you threatening me, Shava?
I shrugged. Take it as you will. But as a threat would be nice. I'm getting pretty goddamn good at that, apparently. How's Rube, by the way? Haven't seen your wolf since he stabbed Ryan in the chest after revealing he worked for Mirren. Sam? Mom barked. No! I deserve an answer. She brought him into our home, and he tried to kill my cornerstone. Silence. From everyone. I arched an eyebrow at Vedoma, daring her to speak. She did. And her voice sounded shaky.
I wouldn't know how he is.
I chuckled. It doesn't matter, I guess. I'll get to him eventually. And to you, of course, if the need should call for it. I don't know how you did it, worming your way back into my parents' lives, but if I suspect you're doing anything untoward, I will end you. It's as simple as that. Her eyes were wide.
I was wrong, she said slowly. You have changed. And I don't know if it's for the better.
She left the kitchen after that, shawl trailing behind her. And then Mom said, Mashalaha was destroyed. It was one of the first to fall, razed to the ground. The gypsies enslaved. Vedoma was powerless to stop it. She escaped, but barely. She came to Castle Lox, near death. I closed my eyes. Shit.
I know you have history with her, and it's tainted, just like ours is, and rightly so. What she said, what she did, it wasn't fair to you or to anyone else. But if she's to be believed, she was influenced by Rove and whatever magic he possessed.
I sighed. Yeah, he told me. Back when he hurt Ryan, he told us that he instilled himself into the memories of the gypsies so that they think he was something more than he was. That he was the wolf to the furrow. That he was meant to be my cornerstone. I didn't believe a word coming out of his mouth, but it's... Is that what happened?
So she claims.
You believe her?
Do you believe Rove?
I don't know. I've had a long time to think about it. You talk about hindsight and seeing the good in people. But neither of you were there that day. In that house, none of you saw what I did. Caleb, who took us there. Lady Tina, who planned it, working with a man I thought was my friend. Rove stabbing Ryan in the chest. Mirren consuming Morgan's magic. You speak of forgiveness, but I don't know if I can do that. Not now. Maybe not ever. And it all comes back to Vedoma. Her vision of my destiny.
Does it, though? I thought she was just a messenger.
I glared at him. Semantics. If she'd never come to Castle Locks,
then we might have been caught unaware, because we wouldn't have known what was coming. She did us, and you, a favor.
I sighed. You know I hate it when you use logic against me. It's not fair. Dad shrugged.
My power as a parent is exploiting your greatest weakness.
I'm going to pretend that's you saying you love me more than anything. Because of my self-esteem.
Probably best that way.
We couldn't leave her alone. Regardless of what she's done, she's still my mother. She might have shunned me, but I couldn't do the same to her, because that's not who I am. We are stronger together than we ever are apart. That's something I've learned, Sam. Here, in this place. After Locks fell, we... It was hard. For all of us. We all lost people. Some to the dungeons. Others crossed the veil. And some disappeared into the woods. Leaving behind a letter 10 sentences long. As if that was some kind of justification.
I blinked at the anger in her voice. I didn't...
I have to do what is right, she snapped at me. What has been asked of me. I cannot stop him. Not now, not as I am. Sometimes you have to face your destiny head on, and that's what I'm going to do. I love you all. Stay safe. I'll come back as soon as I can. I gaped at her.
She memorized it on the second day.
Dad whispered to me.
So she could yell it at you when you got back. It's best to just go with it since she's been working her way up to this for a long time.
But what about all the hugging and the crying and the happiness? I mean, sure, you said I was grounded, which really that's not going to happen. But I thought we were already past all this. Come on, guys. Let's hug again. Just to deflect some more. I mean, because it feels good and I love you more than anything. I finished by giving them the, oh, look how precious Sam is, eyes.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. You put those things away right now.
I widened my eyes just a bit more. I probably looked like I was trying to pop them out of my head.
I know you are betrayed, Mom said, mouth in a thin line. And I know you have every right to be angry. But so do we. Your father and me, Gary, Tiggy, Justin, and Ryan. You are hurt. Your heart had been broken. We know how much Morgan meant to you. What the weight of all this must have felt like. but that doesn't excuse you from sneaking off in the middle of the night and not trusting us enough to tell us what was going on. What you are going to do. We all lost someone that day, Sam. Not just you. And then you made it worse by leaving with Kevin. He followed me. I muttered, unable to look her in the eyes. I didn't ask.
You don't have to ask, she retorted. Because we would follow you anywhere. But we can't unless you tell us. Do you know how devastated Tiggy and Gary were? Sam, they looked for you. For months. Longer than even we did.
I don't...
And Ryan? Don't even get me started on Ryan. He woke days after you left, and the first thing he said was your name. I hung my head. My heart sore, my eyes burning. You were betrayed. But so were we. We watched as Mashalaha fell. As Meridian City fell. As the walls of the City of Locks were breached. As we realized we couldn't win. As the king was taken prisoner. As Mirren sat upon his throne and laughed. As we were forced from our homes. All the while not knowing where you were or when you'd come home. We had faith in you, Sam. Even if we didn't know where you were.
This is the part where you tell us where you were, Dad whispered, just in case you didn't know.
I can't. Not yet. I know it's just not yet.
Mom shook her head, but she didn't press. We have done what we could while waiting for you, and during that time, we've made choices that you might not agree with. But that's on you, not us. You were hurt, I get that. I love you, Sam, I really do. But I need you to get over yourself and face this reality. Vedoma is here because she has nowhere else to go. Lady Tina is here because she has sinned and now seeks repentance. I know you don't trust them. I'm asking you to trust me.
That was terrible and manipulative, I said in awe. And I can't believe I'm falling for the entire thing. Who knew you could be so calculating? She looked rather pleased with herself.
Where do you think you got it from?
It certainly wasn't me. I was innocent before I met your mother. The northern people tend to be as pure as the snow upon which we lived.
You're welcome,
Mom said, kissing his cheek.
I missed you guys,
I said hoarsely. Just so you know, I thought of you every day. You were always with me.
They both opened their arms for me. And if I ran toward them, it was nobody's business but our own.
I walked out the front door of the house, meaning to go check on Kevin and all his perversities, when I found Vedoma on the porch, sitting in a chair. Her teeth were clenched around an ornate wooden pipe, thick blue smoke curling up around her head like a heavy fog. I thought about ignoring her and continuing on my way, but of course, she wouldn't let the moment pass her by.
I was wrong, I sighed as I stopped.
So you said. Is that an apology?
I have nothing to apologize for.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
You need a haircut. You look like a sickly, mangy dog.
She. Thanks. Her eyes narrowed.
Some things change. It appears that others do not. You are different, yes, but you are still Sam.
Very astute of you. Now, if there's nothing else, I need...
My home is gone. My people have been taken from me.
God damn it. Mom and Dad told me. She frowned, sucking on her pipe before blowing out even more smoke.
I did not know about Ruth. He bewitched me. Made me believe things I did not.
So I'm told.
I did not know.
Great. Glad we've had this talk. I really have to go check on...
You said you would end him. And me, if called for.
And I meant it.
Yet you've also said you're not the killer. Which is it?
I don't...
You won't have a choice, I think. It'll either be them or you. Him. The Darks. Rove. Mirren. You have had others do your work for you. You're a giant. You're a dragon. Your horse.
Hey, you watch your tongue. He's a motherfucking unicorn, made of sunshine and rainbows and good feelings.
Bah!
She said, waving her hand at me.
Filthy creatures. All of them. I have no need for horses. But the point remains. This is your destiny, Sam. You have shown mercy. It is a weakness, and will one day be your undoing. He will not show you the same.
She was right. But like hell would I ever admit it. I'll do what I need to.
I was wrong. About you.
Wow, a third time. Stop, please. I don't know if my ego can-
Stop!
I did.
I underestimated you. Your whole life. You were my grandson. But your father diluted your blood.
Not the best thing to say right now, if I'm being honest. She ignored me.
I didn't think you'd be as you were, even when I came to Castle Locks. I thought you weak and immature. You came to my home, and you somehow got the Desert Dragon on your side. And I still didn't think you could do what the gods asked of you. You faced Mirren, and these marks were on your skin. I told myself you were a child, incapable of doing anything seriously. Maybe it was the enchantment placed upon me. But I think not. I think that's how I truly felt.
Wow. Grandma? Thanks for this. It's so pleasant.
But then you left, and the others are angry at you for it. I do not envy you facing their wrath.
Yeah, it's going to be a shit show. That's for damn sure.
But I thought it brave.
I blinked at her. That sounded suspiciously like a compliment. She rolled her eyes.
You made the choice you could have made. And while I believe part of it was running from those you left behind, I choose to believe you did what you did because you knew it was necessary. For you. For the people of Arrhenia. And while they may not understand, you have to become more than you were.
Wow. I breathed. You love me.
I didn't say that.
I mean, the feeling isn't mutual or anything, because, hey, I don't even really know you aside from all the bad touching, but, damn, you think I'm stupendous.
I think you're stupid.
She retorted. Wordplay. Nice. I approve.
You are still foolish, Shava. No amount of time will cure you of that.
I'd like to think I'm a work in progress.
You have them.
What?
The dragons.
Yes, I said slowly. Vedoma nodded.
Good. You will need them. And you must not let him take you. If he should consume your magic, he will control them too. I think that's what he wanted. In the end. Your magic, it radiates from you. But it will attract attention, as all power does. He will see you, and he will come for you.
I'll be ready.
Why now?
What?
Why have you returned now?
Because it was time.
Mostly. Partially. Okay, sure. GW wanted to wait a while longer, and yeah, that argument had been very loud, but I was tired of being in the forest. Tired of seeing trees and grass and leaves and stupid dragon faces. I wanted to go home. I wanted a real bed, real food, real people that I was worried about. It was hazy, almost dreamlike. My time in the dark woods with the Great White and the others. There were days that would go by in a flash. Weeks passing without me acknowledging them, only for me to later realize in a slow dawning horror that a month had gone by. And then there would be days that would just crawl. My teeth grinding together as magic coursed through me, as GW loomed above us all, snarling and snapping his teeth, as I made mistake after mistake after mistake. Days of me hunched over my grimoire, hand aching as I wrote feverishly, scrawling page after page, mind expanding at the thought of all the types of magic there could be. It must have been the same for Randall, except that Mirren had pulled him away and distracted him. The Great White must have hated that, in the end.
Foolish business. Cornerstones.
He'd rumble from somewhere above me.
A wizard must learn to control his own magic and not put faith in the strength of others.
Part of me wanted to believe him. That was the part that saw Ryan. Blood leaking from his chest. Head slumped forward. Skin pale. Breath shallow. That was the part made up of my nightmares.
And how did you know it was time?
Vedoma asked. How did you know it was time to come to Castle Lox when you did?
I just know.
There you go.
I worry.
Great, just great. About what?
The prophecy. About what I saw. What I showed you.
We don't know how much of that was real. How much was you, or the gods, or Ruth playing all of us? She nodded. Slowly.
This is true. But Sam, I don't know that it matters. You saw him clear as day. Ryan, your cornerstone. The life taken from him. His body cold. He escaped death once. But I fear that won't happen again. I know you think my magic false, that I am nothing but a street magician. But I promise you, that isn't the case. I worry it may come to pass that Ryan Foxart will meet his end in order for the prophecy to be fulfilled.
But you were wrong, I told her stiffly. It wasn't Ryan. It was Morgan. Morgan who lay upon the stone. It was never supposed to be Ryan. It was a trick. A sleight of hand, either by you or Ruve or the gods. But it doesn't matter now. I don't trust any of you. She blew out another plume of smoke. It hung heavy about her head.
Or maybe Morgan's faith was hidden from me. And what we saw has not yet come to pass. You cannot dismiss it, Sam. Or you run the risk of losing everything you love. The night will fall. Nothing you can do will stop it. If that's what the gods demand.
Are you done? She chuckled bitterly.
I was wrong about you.
You were. I left her there on the porch, smoking her pipe. And as I walked away, I could feel her gaze following every step I took. Kevin was groaning as he rolled around in Gary's scarves. I almost turned around and headed back to the dark woods. Somehow, I was able to stop myself. Really?
I don't judge anything weird you do,
he said, bringing up a scarf to his nostrils and inhaling deeply. Yeah, you do. You do it all the time.
Oh, well, there you go.
You're a dick. He shrugged.
I do not disagree.
Legit, dude. Not cool.
Don't be jealous because you don't have anything of your beloved to sniff yet. Do you want one of Gary's scarves? I'll only watch a little bit.
All that time in the woods and I still don't know why you are the way you are.
I like what I like, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
You should be, I insisted. You should be so ashamed, and, wow, they were not kidding. It looks like drag queens were massacred in here. And it did. The floor of the large barn was covered in sections of bright purple shag carpeting. There were dozens of feather boas and scarves hanging on one far wall. A few missing for reasons I didn't want to focus on. There was a large bed of hay at one end, built as a nest of sorts that I knew Tiggy and Gary slept on. A large blanket folded on a chair next to it. In another corner were dozens of brooms in all shapes and sizes, haphazardly placed for easy access. In the middle of the barn, hanging from the ceiling, was a large mirror ball. Goddamn, these fuckers are amazing. I mumbled.
Aren't they?
Kevin said, a blue scarf still hanging from his claws. You know, he probably took the time to grab all of the stuff while they were supposed to be fleeing the castle.
Yeah.
Kevin sighed dreamily.
He really does it for me.
Ugh.
Oh, please, like, you don't know my feelings for your mother.
He's not my mother. Shit.
What?
I winced. Your hoard. They must have had to leave your hoard behind. Oh, dude. I'm so sorry. We'll get it back. Maybe. Hopefully. Kevin cocked his head at me.
I don't understand.
Your hoard. I said slowly. Sure that Kevin's brains must have shot out of his dick along with his spunk. That was in the castle?
Oh, that. Oh, I suppose. I don't know how much I care about material things.
I stared at him. You're a dragon. Material things are what you mostly care about. He rolled his eyes.
I have part of my hoard right here, and I expect more of it will be here soon.
I was confused, looking around to see any of Kevin's treasures that I might have missed. There was nothing. I don't understand.
You, Sam, you're part of my hoard. Your parents are in the house next door. And Gary, and Tiggy, and Ryan, and Justin. They'll be coming home tomorrow, or the next day. Or so I've heard.
But I don't... Hoards are supposed to be your most precious things.
I know.
And that you just... We're part of your hoard?
Always quick on the uptake, Sam is. It's what I always tell people.
Dude! I have such a goddamn heart boner right now, You don't even know. Pick me up because we need a hug. And he did just that. I tried not to think about what his hand had recently been doing, but that was because that was causing my heart boner to wilt. I took a snout in my hands as he nuzzled my face. If I was a dragon, you'd be in my hoard too. He growled low in his throat, something he did when he was happy.
You would make a good dragon, I think. Maybe even a great one.
I lay my head between the slits of his nose. His breath was hot against my skin. I'm still scared. A little.
Of them coming back?
I shrugged, not looking at him.
They will be angry.
My shoulders sagged.
And they are probably going to yell at us.
I sighed.
And they may not forgive us for a long time.
Great. That's just swell.
But it'll only be because they love us so much.
Yeah. He hummed in response. We did the right thing. I knew I was trying to convince myself, and I didn't know if it was working.
We did.
And even if it started out because I was running away.
Even if.
And we'll let them yell.
We will.
And we'll take it because...
We'll take it so hard.
Shut up. But in the end, it'll be okay, because it has to be. And even if Ryan and Justin have accidentally fallen in love and given each other sloppy blowjobs, I'll fight to get him back.
And even if Gary has been pounded by so many different people that he licks when he walks, I shall stuff my cock inside his asshole and make him sit there for at least a week. Because once you go dragging, all the rest is lagging.
Oh my gods. Why are you making those sounds with your mouth?
Is what Gary will say when I eat his.
Moment ruined. He hugged me a little tighter.
Can I stay out here with you to sleep?
He pulled back, looking a little surprised.
You've been wanting a bed for a long time. In fact, I don't know that I've ever heard you bitch about anything more than that very thing.
Whatever. It's weird here. Things are not what I expected them to be.
Things change, Pretty. We've talked about this.
I don't like it.
And yet, it's the way things are.
I hate it when you get philosophical.
I'm a dragon. That's what I do.
I snorted. Yeah, that's not even remotely true.
Yes, you can stay with me. In fact, I prefer if you did. I've gotten used to having you whenever I wanted you.
Ugh, don't say it like that. He grinned at me.
You wouldn't want it any other way.
Maybe he was right, but I wouldn't tell him that. Later, when we were on the cusp of sleep, Kevin curled around me protectively.
I whispered the one question I'd buried deep in my heart a long time ago. What if they don't forgive us for what we've done?
Then we'll work that much harder and prove to them we love them with everything we have.
Kevin whispered back.
And we'll do whatever it takes to make them believe us. Because in the end, we may have had to leave them. But we left our hearts behind in their care. We must have hope that they kept them safe.
And then I slept. I was dreaming about lights of green and gold, black and white, and blue and red. I was walking in a field, and they circled around me like fairies, their brightness warm and inviting. The blue lights were the liveliest of all, flitting around me in dizzying patterns. I knew they were the northern dragons that made a pair, and I wondered if this was real, if I was dreamwalking because of them. The grass in the field swayed with a soft breeze, the sun shining high in the sky, and
Sam?
My heart stuttered. My breath caught.
Sam,
he said again from behind me. I couldn't turn around. I didn't know how I could look him in the eye without breaking.
This feels so real,
he said, sounding despondent. It's like when you were in Castle Frecius and we were on the road, I said roughly.
Coming to me?
Yeah, just like that. I know.
Do you? Because I've dreamed of you, but never like this.
I can see you, all of you. It's not in a haze, it's not... The sun set quickly. The night swallowed the day, and stars burst out across the skies above. David's dragon almost blinding. I wondered if he was watching. If all the gods were. Footsteps approached from behind me, and I said, stop! He did.
Why? What is this? Is this real? Oh my god, Sam, is this...
I think so.
Fucking hell, where are...
Language, you're a goddamn knight of Arania. You need to... He choked wetly.
Sam, you don't... Where are you? Right at this moment, tell me where you are.
I sighed. Camp Haveheart. The sound he made reminded me of when he'd pinned me to the wall with a sword, deep and wounded. Like it hurt more than anything.
You came back?
I told you I would.
But that's not... I'm coming. We're almost there. You wait. You don't move a goddamn muscle. You hear me?
I
mean it, Sam. You won't like what happens if I get there and you're not.
That sent a hot chill down my spine. But how can I know what happens if I'm not there to see it?
Sam!
Right. Not the time.
I'm so angry with you.
I bowed my head.
His hand dropped on my shoulder. His forehead pressed against the back of my neck. And I shuddered at the feel of him, the weight. He breathed me in as I trembled. "But I'm still coming for you," he whispered against my skin.
"I know.
Why won't you look at me? I don't know if I can."
"Sam."
"Please, just..." Lips scraped against my neck.
"Stay there."
And then he was gone. I was alone in a field under a sea of stars. The very ones I'd wished upon time and again. And he'd done the same, hadn't he? Or so he said. "Why?" I asked the blue lights that pulsed around me.
"Because after all that you've done,"
Leslie whispered,
"you deserve to have a moment of happiness before we see this through to the end."
"The road ahead is made of stone,"
Pat said, flitting around my head.
"And stone always crumbles. You must remember that. This was our gift to you, for all that you've done."
And then
I opened my eyes. Weak morning sunlight filtered through the slats of the barn walls. There was a blanket covering me, thick and warm, having been placed upon me by someone during the night. I thought it was probably my mother. I sighed, trying to work through what Pat and Leslie had given me. This wasn't going to be the best day of my life. Probably a lot of yelling. And glitter. Maybe even some smashing? At least I would have my best friend Paveva. He would be on my side. I just knew it. But even as the dread circled in the pit of my stomach, there was a sense of excitement. Because they were coming! And they were going to... A clamor took up outside. People began shouting and rushing by the barn door. Kevin snorted above me.
"Who that?"
he muttered, blinking slowly.
"Was it?"
I pushed myself up onto my elbows, wincing at the kinks in my neck. "I don't know. Something's happening."
Kevin's tail twitched dangerously as he came awake.
"Think Caleb delivered your message already."
"I don't know. I had a dream that there was an explosion of noise. People laughing and cheering." I blinked. "That's good, right? I'm sure everything is just fine."
"Where the fuck are those bitch-ass motherfuckers? I'm going to skin them alive. Then eat their remains, then shit them out so they are steaming piles of crap. I swear to the motherfucking gods. Get the fuck out of my way, you two-legged donkeys. I have death to deal to a pair of god's damn idiots."
"Everything is not fine," I said weakly.
"Gary!"
Kevin breathed. I struggled to stand. "Run! Oh my gods, we have to run! Get up! Get up!"
But you know how I feel about the angry sex."
"And I don't know why I have to know that, but he is going to murder us."
"I'm going to stay and take it, like a dragon."
"Fuck you, fuck them, fuck this whole place, I'm out." He snagged me by my shirt collar as I tried to run past him, but it didn't matter by then.
It was already too late.
"Tiggy, smash that door right now!"
"But that our door..."
"What? I know that! But it has offended me by concealing me from those who will have my rage thrust upon them."
"It a good door."
"Well, yes, it is a good door. A fine door, even. But how will they take us seriously if we don't come in all dramatically?"
"Oh, right. Tiggy, smash?"
"Yes, kitten, smash away. And do it like you mean it. Make me believe you want to destroy it and them."
"Okay."
"Then?"
"Tiggy!" Smash!
Chapter 4. Reunited, and it feels so good. When one has a hornless gay unicorn as a best friend, one tends to know certain things as fact. First, unicorns is not as pristine as one might think. They tend to be whores and will sleep with most everything that moves. They can be in monogamous relationships, but it's a rarity. Usually if they have a partner, they will tend to still participate in threesomes or foursomes or 27somes. Second, you do not fuck with a unicorn because they will cut a bitch. They are capable of uniquely terrifying rage that usually begins to reveal itself in the form of glitter secretion. No one knows where the glitter comes from, but when a unicorn starts to sparkle, it's probably a good idea to run in the opposite direction because you are undoubtedly about to get horribly murdered in a way that will be painful and drawn out. Third, unicorns form extraordinary bonds with those they deem worthy. If you are able to gain a unicorn's trust, it's usually for life. And even if they give you shit every day and make fun of you and talk behind your back, it means that they love you more than almost anything in the world. They show it by damaging your self-esteem. Fourth, if you have an extraordinary bond with a unicorn and said unicorn happens to be your best friend whom you left in the middle of the night almost a year ago without leaving them a letter specifically addressed to them, they will come barging in through the gates of whatever town you're staying in, screaming about murder and death, and how if they had their horn, Camp Halfort would be renamed Gore City, because there was going to be Gore City up in here. You get me, you pasty-ass motherfucking dick lickers. But what makes it even worse is when said unicorn best friend is coupled with another best friend who happens to be a half-giant. They feed off each other. Giants, and therefore half-giants, get a bad rap. They're considered brutish and violent and oh so stupid, and maybe there is some truth in that. They speak mostly in grunts and are prone to using their fists more than their words, and yes, there was a battle 900 years ago in which a tribe of giants tried to take over Varenya in the Battle of Squished Innards, where many people died after getting smashed, but that was in the past. These days, they stayed beyond the northern mountains and no one bothered them. And that was that. Tiggy, of course, being the exception. Tiggy, for all his clipped speech and love of brooms, was most certainly not a stereotypical giant. People underestimated him, thinking he was slow and thoughtless, incapable of actual human feelings. But, of course, they were wrong, because Tiggy probably had the biggest heart of us all and was smarter than most everyone I knew. He was very protective of the people he loved the most, and usually destroyed any obstacles in his way to get to them. Hence, the barn door, which exploded inward, sending shards of wood flying around the room in an oppressively dramatic display. Say what you will about Gary and Tiggy, but they knew how to make an entrance. I love them with everything I had. But that didn't mean I wanted to die. Hide me, I squeaked to Kevin. Oh my gosh, you have to hide me. Swallow me whole and then throw me back up later. It's safe. Okay, wait, that sounds disgusting. Don't do that. Just my luck, I'd cause your acid reflux to act up, and we all know how that turns out.
We are so dead.
Kevin groaned, eyes wide.
There is going to be nothing left of us to bury. Do you think they would show us mercy if I tied you up and flogged you in front of them? Yes, I think they will. Let's do that. Your safe word is meatloaf.
Sam of Wilds!
An ominous voice intoned through the thick dust.
Prepare to meet your doom.
Not my doom. You know how I feel about my doom.
Yes, I do. Which is why I said it, you little skank.
Oh, right. Continue. The dust began to clear, and there, in the destroyed entrance to the barn, were a hornless unicorn and a half-giant. Tiggy stood with his big hands on his hips, scowling, but also trying hard not to smile, which made for an interesting combination as he looked me up and down, taking me in hungrily. He didn't look all that different than the last time I'd seen him. His thin dark hair was still wispy around his head, his nose bulbous, face kind and sweet, even though he just smashed a heavy barn door. He was wearing trousers that came just below his knees, and a patchwork vest my mother had made for him a few years before for All Hallowed Day, which he took great care of, saying he'd never had anything so nice before. I wanted to hug his face until it fell off. Next to him stood Gary, the air around him shimmering with glitter.
His mane and tail had been dyed with streaks of purple and pink. His chest was puffed out, one leg raised in the air, bent at the knee, and... Wait. I frowned. Are you two posing? Gary snorted. The sparks that came out were periwinkle and teal.
Of course not, he growled. That would just be ridiculous.
He flipped his mane. It settled gracefully on the other side of his head.
Tiggy?
Hi, Sam.
Are you posing?
Yes.
Tiggy? Remember the plan?
Tiggy's face scrunched up.
Oh, right. The plan.
He bared his teeth at me.
Sam, in big trouble. Gary gonna bring the pain.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
Gary said, slowly turning back to look at me.
That's right.
I am hard as a fucking rock right now,
Kevin muttered.
Dude.
What, I am?
Not the time.
It's never the time.
Yes, but of all the times, this is the one where it's the most not the time.
But, well, your Varanian really took a hit in the woods, didn't it? Are coherent sentences hard for you?
Enough!
Gary bellowed.
Meep. Yep.
Kevin and I said. Gary and Tiggy glared at us. Kevin and I tried to make ourselves smaller.
Now,
Gary said,
here's how this is going to work. I'm going to murder the both of you, and then I'm going to resurrect you using arcane magic, and then I'm going to murder you again, and then I will resurrect you again. And only then will I entertain the idea of setting a date far in the future, in which I'll consider the idea of possibly forgiving either of you for your crimes against Tiggy and myself.
Tiggy, hug Sam now,
Tiggy whispered to Gary.
No, you can't hug Sam now. We still need to make him grovel. And you're already hugging him.
And he was. He'd taken three large steps forward, and before I could even react, I'd been swept up in his big arms and held tightly against his chest. His heart was beating rapidly, and he was breathing heavily. And I realized my wonderful friend was shaking. His eyes prickled with tears as I heard him sniffle. I wrapped my arms around his neck and buried my face in his throat.
My Sam,
he said quietly.
My Sam. My Sam.
Hi, Tiggy.
Hi.
I missed you.
Me too. No more, okay? You stay here with Gary and Tiggy forever.
Okay.
Promise?
Yeah. I said, boys breaking just a little. And even though I knew it was a promise no person could ever make, I said, forever. Because I wanted nothing more.
Tiggy!
Gary growled.
I've never experienced this disappointment in my life. We had a plan. There were going to be threats, and intimidation, and blood, and then we were going to make them do things for us, like laundry, and a dance choreographed by yours truly involving unflattering costumes for our specific amusement. And then we were going to cry, and hug them, and all that other stupid feelings crap.
I... cry now,
Tiki said, eyes filling. Oh, no, I whispered. This is going to get very wet.
But if you start, I will,
Gary said, lips trembling. The unicorn rage glitter was starting to fade.
And at least one of us needs to be angry at them.
No angry,
Tiki wailed, tilting his head back.
Hugging and crying. So happy. And sad.
I didn't mean to leave, I cried. You have to forgive me.
Gary ran forward until he collided with Tiggy, who wrapped him up in his other arm, squishing both of us against his chest.
This is going to ruin my makeup,
Gary sobbed, his nostrils pressed against my eyes. It was terrible and wonderful, all at the same time.
It will streak down my face and I will look like the aftermath of a festival, celebrating the art of bukkake.
That's so disgusting. I wept. I hate you so much for saying that so close to my face.
Well, it's true. And I hate you for making me say it.
What bukkake?
Tiggy asked tearfully. Gary was still crying when he said,
"It's when a group of people take turns ejaculating on someone." "Gross," Diggy bawled. "Everything happy and sad and gross."
I miss you guys so fucking much, I said, pressing myself closer to Gary. "You have no idea."
"I expect I do. And if you think I'm letting you out of my sight again in the near future, you'd be sorely mistaken. I'm going to cling to you like herpes. You understand me?"
"Tiggy, too,"
Tiggy said, squeezing us tighter.
"I be herpes on your mouth."
I sighed happily at the thought, which was an impressive feat, seeing as I was still crying along with them.
"Oh, look,"
a voice said from above us.
"Kevin is here, too. We should all give some love to Kevin so he doesn't feel left out or anything and start to doubt he belongs."
We all slowly looked up at him. He looked around, eyes wide.
"No, who could have said that? I mean, it's true, of course, so whoever said that obviously knew what they were talking about."
Gary pulled away from Tiggy and me, tail up, chest stuck out, as he pranced toward Kevin.
"Did you fuck other dragons?"
Gary demanded. Kevin peered down at him.
"No. One is like my brother. Two are lesbians. One of whom thinks I'm her baby. Which I am. The other is a cranky old man."
"Did you fuck Sam?"
I gagged. "What? No, of course not."
"Not even when he begged for it,"
Kevin told Gary.
"I didn't beg for anything."
"Yes," Gary said.
"That sounds like him. In what fucking world does that sound like me?"
"He dressed saucily to try and entice me,"
Kevin said, lowering himself until he was eye level with Gary.
"But I resisted. No matter how often he tried to present his asshole for my inspection."
"None of that happened," I told Tiggy. "Literally, none of that."
"Shh,"
Tiggy said, squishing my face back against his chest.
"Slutty Sam. That's capitalized. It true now."
"I will deal with that whore later," Gary said. "So if you didn't have sex with dragons or Sam, who did you have sex with?"
"No one. Because I was saving myself for you."
Gary gasped.
"You were?
I dreamed about going to your bakery,"
Kevin growled,
"and putting your poppy seed muffins all over my face."
"Well, maybe my bakery is closed permanently,"
Gary said, turning his head away to gaze into the distance.
"Maybe it went out of business, and I don't have the finances to open it up again."
"Or maybe it just needs a cash flow injection,"
Kevin said, tongue flicking out.
"Something to give it a boost."
"Oh, my."
Gary breathed.
"I do like cash flow injections. And then I could open my bakery and banana nut all over your chest."
"Tiggy," I said, struggling to get free. "We have to get out of here. They're going to have filthy reunion sex, and your soul is far too pure to witness such atrocities."
"Do you feel that?"
Gary purred, rubbing his snout against Kevin's.
"I feel my bakery having a grand reopening celebration right now. In fact, I think there's something hot in my oven as we speak."
"Maybe I should get in there and take it out before it burns,"
Kevin rumbled.